So guys, tonight I'm actually going to preach about what the Bible's got to say about being a dad. Now, we've been working our way through Philippians at the moment, so we're going to take a one-week break from that and do this sermon tonight. It's a topical sermon, and I want to explain myself before I kick off. You will not get a staple diet of topical sermons in this church. You will get what we call exegetical teaching. Okay? And what that means is we'll work our way through the Bible. We'll grab a book and we'll take it chunk by chunk by chunk. And each week I will actually expound that chunk and we'll pull it apart. I'll explain what it's all about. We'll put it back together and try and apply it to our lives. We call that exegetical preaching. That's what we will do week in, week out. But from time to time, we'll take a break, especially with Father's Day tomorrow, and we'll do something like this. And we'll look at what the whole Bible has got to say about one particular topic, being a dad. Now, as you can imagine, that's quite a hard thing to do, to look at the whole Bible, what it's got to say. So I'm doing an overview tonight. There's no way I can tell you everything the Bible's got to say to dads or about dads tonight. So I'm just gonna try and break it down and give you a few things that I think are really important to dads. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, that's no good, I'm not a dad, what's going to be in this for me? I'll tell you what's going to be for you. If you're not a dad, you can hear what the Bible's got to say to dads so that you can be an encouragement to dads. So you know how to back them up and encourage them to be who God wants them to be. Okay? And that's really important for you to do. If you're a young bloke, chances are you will be a dad one day. So you need to figure out what that means and what you're going to be up for very soon. If you're a young girl and you're not even married yet, or you are married, you don't have kids yet, you can be thinking, what kind of a guy am I looking to marry? If I want to have kids in the future, what kind of a guy do I need to find? You need to find a guy who's going to be a good dad. That's what you need to find. Okay, so it's more than just a guy who's hot. Alright? Okay? Hell is hot as well. You need a guy with some character, or you need a guy who's committed to having his character developed to be a great dad. It's great dads that build great families, and great families make more families, and people change the world. That's how it works. Okay, so it's a massive responsibility being a dad. I want to say to start with, though, this sermon tonight is not tips from the perfect dad. All right? Not by any means. In fact, I've been a dad now for about 5 years. I've got a five-year-old girl, Evie. She's absolutely gorgeous. She's about to turn six soon. I've got a two-year-old boy, Luca. He's just this little bundle of joy. I tell you what, I just want to eat him all the time. I know that might sound weird, but if you've ever had kids and you have times where you hate your kids, but then sometimes you just really love them. You don't hate them. You never hate them. You love them more at some times. But Luca's going through this stage where I just want to pick him up and I'm feeding him, just want to blow raspberries on him and eat him all the time. I love being a dad. It's awesome. And a lot of will come out about what I think about being a dad tonight. But this is not based on tips from the perfect dad. Because I go through days where I think, I'm the world's best dad. And then I have other days where I think, I ought to be locked up and my kids ought to be taken away from me. You know, docs ought to be called. I mean, I confessed to you a few weeks about it. Little Luca broke his leg. We found out, got a cast on it. Except he broke it 4 weeks before we found out. That's terrible, isn't it? I got another story for you tonight. This one's going to shock you. Whenever we decide we're having a barbie at home, can I tell this story? Yeah, all right. Kind of borderline. When it's barbie time, I get the kids, barbie time. It's great. That means the kids get to come out with me. We sit down, we have special drinks, and we have chips, and it's just a good time. And Dad tries to get flames coming off the barbie, and I flip on the steaks, and whoa, you know, Lucas just more, just wants more. So yeah, we went and got some special drinks beforehand, you know, so I got a few beers, and we've got some apples. No, the kid's special drink is soft drink, all right? But you'll see why that's funny in a moment. I got some apple cider from the bottle, right? Asked the guy, apple cider, mate? Yeah, no worries, there it is. Just grabbed it, brought it home. Poured the sippy cups with apple cider, and there we are, having a good old time. And Mum comes home, and we pour an apple cider for Mum, and she has a little sip, and she's like, what kind of apple cider is this? And I'm like, it's apple cider. And I turn the bottle around. Strongbow, apple cider. you know, praise the Lord, I look at Evie and she's only had half a sip. And a discerning young girl she is. Daddy, this is no good. You know, so she don't know. But little Luca, you know, there he was, sitting back on his chair with a big smile on his face. You know, the chips were gone, the sippy cup was empty, and I just thought, what am I going to do? I mean, meal times are interesting enough at our house without the kids being drunk. So it was, it was interesting. No, it all turned out okay. I just got lots of water into him, watered it all down. He was okay. Slept really well that night. So, you know, like, obviously I make some big balls up to Dad, and it's not the kind of thing I want to make a habit of. But I want to take very seriously my responsibility as a dad. It's massive. And tonight we'll look at what God says about dads and who we ought to be. I do want to say tonight also that I'm focusing particularly on dads. I'll say a lot of things about dads, good to be a dad, things that dads do. Don't take that the wrong way. I'm not saying mums aren't important. I'm not saying the mum role isn't massive. In fact, I'll preach on mums soon, okay? We'll get to that. Mother's Day is probably too long a way to wait for that, so we'll get to mums sooner than that. But I just want to say that if you're a mum and at any stage tonight you're thinking, oh, come on, you know, I'm in the picture too here. I'm involved in bringing up these kids too. You know, you absolutely are. You're a massive part of it. Tonight we're focusing on dads, okay? You got me there? You with me on that one? I also understand that while some of you are dads, actually talking about dads can actually be a very painful topic. And it can be painful for a number of reasons. Some of you have terrible dads. Just to think about the concept of dads and even God being called our Heavenly Father, it's not an easy thing for you to chew on. Your dad either has not been there at all, or he's been there and he's been an abusive, bad dad. Okay? So I understand there's a lot of pain when we talk about dads. Some of you guys have been trying to become dads for ages. Some of you are just looking for someone to marry because you want to become a dad. I understand there's a lot of pain going on. So I just want to recognise that before we kick off. It's a painful topic. It's also a painful topic for single mums. Central Coast has got thousands of single mums where dad is not around anymore. Okay, and I know some of you are single mums. Okay, and I don't in any way want to put you down by what I say about dads. But I want to talk about what the Bible's got to say to dads. So the dads take their role seriously. Can we have more good dads on the Central Coast being the dads that they need to be? Okay? But no one's had the perfect dad. Even if you think you've had a good dad, no dad's perfect. And I will not be the perfect dad. So we've all got that in common. As I look around and I see what goes on in families today, this is a bit of a generalisation, but I actually see a bit of a problem with dads. With the dad role in the family. I actually see sometimes the dad's not even there. He's not even on the scene. Or even if he is there, he's on the fringe. He's right out on the boundary of the family. Okay, and I see that as a problem. Because dad ought not to be just some estranged member of the family, out on the fringe, not much to do with what's going on while mum carries all the load, she's the rock, she does all the work, makes all the decisions. And dad's just kind of out there, you know, bringing in a bit of money from time to time. And it's almost like he's the oldest kid that gets sent off to work. Okay, I see that as being a big problem in the fabric of the families that exist at the moment. And we actually see it everywhere. I know it's a big generalisation. That's what I see. I think there's two reasons why dads have been relegated to the fringe of the family. First reason is a social reason. Second reason is a sinful reason. First reason being social. We exist today in the aftermath of a social movement called feminism. Feminism was a response to chauvinism back in the before the 60s. Okay, and chauvinism was men being pigs. All right, not treating women as they ought to, not loving their wives and their families as they ought to, dominating them and ruling over them brutally. That's chauvinism, and not valuing women as they ought to value women. So feminism actually rose up at the end of the 60s, beginning of the 70s, as a response, and I think at the beginning a right response to chauvinism. To try and correct what society had done in the stuff up in the family. And so feminism tried to respond to chauvinism, but I actually think it became an over-response. There was an over-correction that we see with feminism. So that men, instead of being put back in the place that they ought to be in, were actually pushed out and were targeted, and it was against the men. So that men actually, over those years where feminism has actually had a big grip on our society, men have become quite confused about what their role is at all. And so they do hardly anything. And they get relegated right to the fringe. And I think it's a problem. And in the 90s, I remember the saying was you needed to be a snag, right? A sensitive new age guy. It seems like every new time period, we're getting told we need to be something else. It gets confusing, generally, being a bloke, what you need to be. Can I be a bloke, or do I need to be a cheeky bloke, or a nice bloke, or a, you know, what kind of a bloke do I need to be? And it's even more confusing as a father. What do we need to do as a father? You know, is it all like totally equal in the family? Do we all work the same amount? Do we look after the kids the same amount? It's quite confusing, and there's lots of different models of families going on at the moment in society. But what I do see is the problem is that Dad's confused, and he's out on the fringe, and he doesn't really know what he's doing. Okay, so there's a social reason why dads are confused at the moment. There's also a sinful reason, because men sometimes don't want to grow up; they want to stay boys, and they actually want to just keep playing with their toys as they grow up. So some men actually put themselves on the fringe of their family so they don't have to bear the responsibility that they ought to bear. Okay, so they can try and keep life fun. Okay, so I acknowledge both those reasons why sometimes dads are right out on the fringe, not being the dad that they need to be to raise and keep the family together. Okay, so tonight when we look at what a dad should be, again, some tips on the perfect dad, tonight we look at how to father like God fathers us. Ultimately, that's how we know how to be dads. Be a dad like our Heavenly Father is a dad. And I see three things when I look at God, actually many things. I'm just distilling them down into three things tonight for us as we think about dads. First of all, our Heavenly Father creates, He sustains, and He instructs and corrects. That's what He does. That's what I'm distilling it down into, those three. Creates, sustains, and instructs and corrects. So first of all, when we look at creating, that might be a bizarre thing for you to think, because usually it's really the women that are at the forefront when we're talking about the creation of children. After all, they're the ones that carry the babies, they're the ones that go through the whole pregnancy, they're the ones that give birth, they're the ones that carry the major load of bringing up the young kids and all that kind of stuff. So often it's just women that are put forward as the ones who make babies and bring forth babies. When you flick open the Bible, it actually puts quite an emphasis on the bloke. It puts quite an emphasis on the dad. And if we start right back at the beginning of the Bible, where does Eve come from? Eve comes from Adam's body. Okay, the first man, Adam, our first parents, mum, was taken from dad. Okay, as he fell asleep, taken from the rib, Eve was made from Adam. And as you keep flicking through the pages and you look at Adam and Eve's kids, when we actually look in Genesis chapter 5, I'll read it to you. Adam lived 130 years. This is Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. Adam lived 130 years, and he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image. Did you hear that language? That's very similar to when it talks about how God created humans to start with, isn't it? In his own likeness, in his own image. He said the father here, the language of the Bible actually puts the father forward as the creator, as the maker. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? Because these days, we know where babies come from. You know, we know there's an egg and there's a sperm, and we know what's got to happen to make a baby. But the language of the Bible actually puts a lot of emphasis on the father, the father's role in creating, the father's role in making, the father's role in bringing forth life. And actually, as you keep flicking through Noah, you see the same thing. You get to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, and he actually says this, which is really interesting. It talks about coming from Abraham's body. Chapter 15 of Genesis, verse 4, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.'" That's a bizarre thing to say to a man, isn't it? As though the son comes from his body. You know what, that's the language we get over and over and over again as we open up the Bible. That it's the father's seed that creates life. That children come from the father's body. That's bizarre for us to hear that these days. But I believe the Bible does that is because it's putting emphasis on the father role in creating life. And you see it in all the genealogies all the way through the scriptures as well. How do they go? They go from dad to son to son to son to son. It gets streamlined back through the father's name, because a child is born into the father's household. He bears the father's name, he belongs to and he's created by the father. That's the language of the scriptures. That's the emphasis there. I'm not sure if that makes you feel uncomfortable or not. You actually may need to hear more about that kind of stuff. I've got a great book on fatherhood where the guy just actually goes to town and spends chapters and chapters kind of bringing out that theme. Now again, I'm not minimising the role of mum. Because we know because of the science that exists. We know how babies come to be. And in fact, recently I saw the egg and the sperm thing, you know, they zoom in. Actually, the egg is this massive thing, you know, and the sperm is this tiny little thing, you know. So it really does, when we look at science, it emphasises the egg, you know, the mum role. You look up in the Bible and it keeps actually putting the emphasis back on dad, saying, no, you know, this is life that has come from your body. You know, this is the fruit of the father's body. So, dads, I just want to put you back in the picture there. And if you're out on the fringe thinking, yeah, this whole baby-making thing's not got much to do with me, I haven't had a huge role. Surely I was involved, but really it's the mum thing. And I say, no, the kids that exist, that you have born, are actually fruit of your body. Okay? And that, it's just that, that kind of needs to sink in a little bit. The other day I was driving along the car, and this happens to parents. Regularly. I'm driving along, I look in the vision mirror, and I'm used to seeing just a surfboard and a few things, you know, in the back seat hanging around. And I look and I see these two little faces looking at me, and I think, I just kind of take a double take and think, you know, like, where did they come from? You know, who put them there? You know, I open up the Bible, and God says to me, you did, you know? I put them there. Okay? And the reason why I'm emphasising this is because dads need to have that truth sink in deep. Okay? You need to understand that you put the kids there. And that takes us to a very important thing. If you put them there, you are responsible for them. There's that dirty word, responsibility. Okay? If you created life, you are responsible for how that life turns out. I remember the first time this kind of sunk in for me. It hit me like a brick, actually, when I was reading a book. And I saw my role as more than simply the sperm donor in the family, okay? And I thought, wow, they are really the fruit of my body. And in many ways, I have made them, and I am responsible for them. Wow, the buck stops with me. And if you're a dad, you need to hear that. The buck stops with you. You are ultimately responsible before God for what you have made. You are responsible. And you need to carry the weight of that responsibility and take it seriously. If it turns out good, that's for your glory. If it turns out bad, that's your fault. Okay? That's hard to hear too. Okay, now, that's not to say our kids can't make their own decisions about what they do with their lives and grow up to be who they want to be. And they are sinners just like we're sinners. They'll make their choices. Okay, and they will stand before God responsible for what they do. But a father is told that he is responsible for what he makes. You might just need to let that kind of sink in a little bit and just sit there for a while. Because everything else I say tonight comes from that. It comes from that understanding that you are responsible for what you have made. Okay? And when we talk about responsibility, I usually laugh because I know full well that when guys talk about responsibility, if you're ever hanging out with guys and there's dads going on, and one of the dads got to go back home, he gets the call, you know, he's got to go back home. There's always jokes, you know, oh, under the thumb, mate, you know, or, oh, you've been reined in by the missus, or, you know, the jokes are always there. Blokes are really good at making jokes about other blokes when they are fulfilling their responsibility. It's a tragedy, isn't it? You see it all the time. Some blokes even get, oh, busted, are you, mate? Busted. Got to go home. Look after the kids. Look at that, you know, that's shirking on it, isn't it? And so guys, I think, for some reason, we actually avoid responsibility like a plague. We do. We try and run from it. I don't know what it is we fear about responsibility. Actually, I do know what it is we fear about responsibility because I'm a bloke and I know what I can do. Okay? I fear in responsibility that I don't get to play as much as I'd like to play. And ultimately, I think what stops dads being the dads they need to be is they want to stay boys. They just want to stay boys, playing with their toys and just keeping life fun and light and doing what we want to do when we want to do it. That's what we like to do. You know, and part of that's just a simple desire. But I'll tell you, you know, that's where it comes from. But if you're old enough and if you're man enough to actually start to bring forth life from your own body, you've got to step up. You've got to step up and carry that responsibility. Know that the buck stops with you. Some guys actually instead of even carrying that responsibility, they abdicate the responsibility and totally over to their wives so that they're not responsible at all. They don't carry any of that weight at all. They just shove it over there and don't have anything to do with it, so that they can continue to live like a boy. And the tragedy is often when you're in a marriage, you know, family situation, often dad can carry on just like a kid, and just the oldest kid kind of gets away with a little bit more. And I think that's a tragedy. Men, your wife is not your new mum. Okay? And sometimes we try and make our wives our mums, and we get them to dote after us like our mum doted it after us. I want you to think about who your mum was. Okay? Think about who she was, and think about who you'd really like your wife to be. Okay? And if you're wanting your wife to be like a new mum for you, you know, you've got to back off. Your wife is not your mum. You need to carry responsibility for your family. Pick up the socks, step up, man up. You know, it's your job. Take responsibility for this family. Man up, grow up. You know, they're the kind of words guys don't like to hear. They don't like to hear really simple things. We know it's going to have an effect on our life. But man, I want to put it to you this way. The kids that you have and that you bring up will be the legacy that you leave behind. They will be your legacy. They will be what you are remembered by. You know, I'd like to think I'm remembered by many things. And actually, one of my mates wrote a book recently. He's written many good books, and I think his books will last a long time. They will be his legacy. And actually, I read a book the other day by Spurgeon. The guy's been dead for hundreds of years, but the legacy that Spurgeon left is in his books. I don't think I'll ever write a book that people are still reading in a couple of hundred years' time. I don't think my legacy will be in books. But you know what my legacy will be? It will be in the family that I have led, which has led to other families. Okay? Men, your legacy will be in the kids that you bring up. That is what you will be remembered by. And that is worth pouring your time and energy and effort and concentration into. Because you will be remembered by the family that you live by, the family you have led and raised. Okay? That's your legacy. So take that very seriously. The kids that you raise will be the book that you write. Okay, so that's my first one. We look at how God fathers us. The first thing he does is he creates and he makes us. So we too need to understand our role in making and creating. The second thing I think that we see that God does with us as our Heavenly Father is he cares for us and he provides for us and he protects us. Okay? And we see that in Matthew chapter 7. I'll read Matthew 7 to you. Matthew chapter 7, looking there at verse 9. This is Jesus speaking to dads, and he says this: "Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" Now, the obvious answer to those questions is no one, no dad in his right mind, would give his child a rock if his kid needed food. No dad in his right mind would give his kid a snake that's going to bite him if the kid needs fish. You know? That's stupid. So, us as dads, we know how to provide for and care for our kids. And that's the point Jesus is making. Saying, if you then, even though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts? Our Heavenly Father is the ultimate giver of good gifts. He ultimately knows how to care for and provide for and protect us as his children. And so we as dads need to model ourselves on him. We need to be good givers, good carers, good protectors. We need to be generous in the way that we do that for our children. So the point there that Jesus is making is, you know, it's obvious. Dads care for, they protect, and they provide. Now, it shouldn't even be something that you need to say today, should it? You shouldn't even need to say to dads, make sure you care for your kids and provide for your kids. You ought not to have to say that. It's a tragedy that needs to be said. Because kids need to be cared for in a number of ways. They need to be cared for physically. They need to be cared for emotionally. They need to be cared for spiritually. And you can keep going, actually. Education. You keep going. It is the dad's responsibility to make sure that the care and the provision and the protection is there in his family. Okay, so starting out physically. Dad, you're responsible for protecting your kids physically. Okay? From physical harm. Now, obviously, things can end up happening to your kids. Like they can break legs, you know, it's kind of out of your control. Kids can get chronically sick and actually pass away, and dads cannot do anything about it. And I know from first-hand seeing dads struggle with their kids being terminally ill, not being able to do anything about it. That rips a dad's heart out when he cannot protect his kids physically like that, and it ought to rip your heart out, because your job is to protect your kids physically. Put in place guidelines that keep your kids safe. Care for them physically. The statistics on sexual abuse with kids these days is horrendous. You don't even want to hear the statistics. 1 in 3 girls, you know, is sexually interfered with. Now, are you prepared that one of your girls will be sexually interfered with? No one would say that they want that to happen. So dads, take your job seriously. Put in place guidelines. Don't let anyone look after your kids. And don't let anyone look after them regularly. We've sat down and thought about that very seriously with our kids. And we've got some strict guidelines about who looks after our kids. And particularly with Evie as a girl, we actually don't leave her with guys. Now, some of you might think that's... I can explain that whole thing to you later, but that was just a guideline we put in place really early on. We thought, no, that's going to be hard. That's going to mean sometimes we can't go out. That's going to mean sometimes we don't get to go to where we want to go to because we can't find the right person to look after our kids. So be it. It's worth protecting your kids. Do everything you can to look after your kids. And dads, you are responsible for making sure that happens. Making sure there's guidelines in place that your kids are protected right throughout their lives. Okay, and on that protection thing too, the minute a dad has a girl, like Ben, you've probably already had to say this to you as well. Oh, you got a little girl, I bet you're going to have to watch her with the boys. You know, you start getting those comments. Oh, geez, you're going to have to get yourself a shotgun. You know, keep those boys away. Now, we've just bought a house recently, and it's got one of those verandas. It's really cool. It's got a veranda, so I'm going to buy a chair, a swinging chair, a shotgun. You know, I'm going to sit on my veranda. I'm going to protect my daughter. You know, that's talking tough, isn't it? But I tell you what, my concept of protecting my little girl is so strong. I tell you, flat out, I would do anything to protect her. I would kill to protect her. You might think that's a bit hardcore, but I would do anything to keep her safe. Fair dinkum, I would. That's how much I love her. Dads should feel that way towards their kids. The first time my little girl Evie blew me away, because I just thought she was so beautiful when she was 4 and she was a flower girl at the wedding. And I was there with the video camera, just videoing Evie, flower girl. I took a photo. Fair dinkum, she just stood at the door, posture, flowers, and off she went. And I was just holding the camera and I lost it. I just melted. The camera just coming down like this. And I was just there looking at my little 4-year-old going, oh my goodness, she blew me away. This girl is so beautiful. And I had to shake myself and go, oh my goodness, okay, get your act together. There's going to be plenty of other guys that are going to be looking at Evie and thinking she's so beautiful too. I need to figure out how I'm actually going to protect my daughter, how I'm going to help my daughter to make wise decisions when it comes to guys who want to date her. Whatever you say in Australia. She's in kindy and she's had proposals. Okay? No, but fair income proposals, all right? It's kind of scary. She comes home with drawings, with stick-on things of like, there's Evie, and there, cutouts, pictures, married, rings, all that kind of stuff comes home. You know, and it's half that stuff you can just laugh at it and think, oh, I'm not laughing. I'm thinking at that age, no. You're just friends with the boys. You're friends with the girls. In fact, you're friends with them until you're 39, all right, Evie? That's how it works. And I thought, who is this little punk that wants to marry my daughter? Because he furiously does. He's actually talking about bringing a ring in and everything, okay? I thought, I've got to meet this guy, I've got to meet his dad. I did. Found his dad, talked to his dad. Because I take it seriously. I do. His dad thought it was funny. You know, his dad said, oh yeah, did you see the drawings that what he did for the little girl? And he was just thinking, he's not too involved in his kid's life, but he thought it was funny. And he said, oh, you really should give it to him, that'd be great. And so he encouraged his kid to kind of do that kind of stuff. And I just looked him in the eye and said, mate, I just want to be really clear. I'm encouraging Evie at this age to just be friends with boys. Do you understand? And he looked at me and said, yeah, I got it. Okay, like, I'm not saying I'm tough, but I tell you what, when it comes to Evie, I'm going to do everything I can to protect her and to build in her courage and strength as a little girl so that she knows what a good guy is and what a bad guy is. Okay, so she's got two rules at the moment. When it comes to the time she can, you know, have a boyfriend, which is a long way away, and get married, there's only two rules. Number one, the guy's got to love Jesus, and he's got to love her as much as I love her. Which means I've got to be okay about it. And she knows that. And she's come home and said to me, there's this guy, blah, blah, blah. She talks to me about it. Okay? And I'm hoping that if at an early stage, she trusts me and she loves me and she knows that I have her best interest in mind. My plan is that as the years go on, she knows that she's looking for a guy who loves her and loves her as much as her dad loves her. She's looking for a guy just like her dad, okay? Who's serious about her. So, I'll stop there. I'll keep going. And if anything I've said is concerned, you come and chat to me afterwards. I may be being a little stronger than I actually am in real life. That happens sometimes. So protect for and provide for. Okay, you need to provide for your kids. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that a man who does not provide, you know, food, clothing, anything, shelter for his extended family, and especially his immediate family, is worse than a pagan. That's what it says. So dads, it is your responsibility to provide. It's a tragedy that it needs to even be said, but the case is that many kids go to school today without any lunch because dad, I don't know what he's doing with the money he's earning, if he's even on the scene. The tragedy is many dads are actually spending just as much money on grog or just as much money on gambling. You know, the money that is meant to be set aside to care for the family is going elsewhere. Do not do that. Your responsibility to dad is to provide physically for your family. So I'll finish on the physical thing there. We get to the emotional thing now. As a dad, you need to care for and provide for emotionally with your kids. And boys and girls need different things emotionally. It's like they've got a little emotional tank in them, and it can be topped up and full, or it can just be drained low. Okay? Boys need to hear things from their dads, and girls need to hear things from their dads, particularly from their dads. Okay? Mums need to say things all day, every day. But you know what? It's the dad, when dad says something special in that. There really is. And I see it in my kids all the time. They'll be continually turning to mum, going, "Mum, do you think I'm good? Do you think I'm good? Do you think I'm good?" But you know what? They really need to hear it from dad as well, and particularly from dads. Guys, girls and guys need to hear different things. They need to hear a lot of things, but these are the two things I can identify. Girls need to hear from their dads that they are beautiful. And if your dad told you were beautiful and you believed him because you knew he thought you were beautiful, you know how good that is. If you missed out on that and you wish your dad would have just told you were beautiful, you'd probably find yourself just trying to get someone else to say it. Other guys to say it. And that's the pattern we see. When dads do not affirm their girls emotionally where they need to be affirmed, the girls will go looking for it elsewhere. And I see it in Evie all the time. She always wants to know. Sometimes, actually probably three times today, she needed to hear from me that she is beautiful. And I have no problem telling her that she's beautiful. And there's those little moments during the day where if dads are distracted and they're on their phone and they're not interested in their kids, they'll miss those opportunities to affirm their kids in the way they need to be affirmed. So guys don't need to hear that, do they? Little boys don't need to hear they're beautiful. In fact, if you try and tell a little boy he's beautiful, he can kick in the shin and tell you to go away. You know what little boys need to hear? They need to hear, particularly from their dad, that they are the man. You know? That's what they need to hear. You are the man. You have got what it takes. You got the stuff. And I see Luca asking me all the time. He wants to hear it from dad. He just picks something up, throws it. I'm like, that was awesome. And you are the best thrower of anything in the world, man. You know, and you just see him just going, yeah, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to chuck another rock. Was that good too, Dad, you know? And you know, if as a bloke, whether your dad really affirmed you and ever said to you, yeah, you're the man, you can do anything. You are awesome at that. Now, if your dad said that to you, you got a good dad. If your dad didn't say that to you, you probably spent your whole life trying to hear it, trying to get your dad to say that to you. That you're good at something. That you can do anything. You know? Actually, most of us actually get driven for our whole lives try and hear the kind of words that we always wanted to hear from our dads. So dads, don't miss those opportunities to actually speak into your kids' life and affirm them emotionally the way they need to hear it. The other thing, I think emotionally actually helps kids, you know, and gives them a huge amount of stability is when dad loves mum. Okay? When dad shows his affection to mum and does that in front of the kids in an appropriate way. And I see the smiles on my kids' faces all the time. Whenever I'm giving Deb a big cuddle, if you start doing that and you don't usually do that, the first thing the kids will do is they'll want to get in and they'll want to break it up because they're not used to it. But if they get used to it and they see you, it'll put a smile on their face and it'll give them so much stability in their little hearts when they see that mum and dad love each other. They'll come over and they usually want a part of it. And often Luca and Evie, they'll come either side and they'll hold our heads together. And I feel Luca holding my little head like, yeah, you keep loving my mum. You keep loving her. Because that makes me feel so good. And as a dad, you need to love your wife to build stability in your kids. You know what it's like when your mum and dad argue? You are listening. Even if you're in a different room, you're listening and watching to see if they actually make up. My mum and dad were great parents, but they had their arguments. You know what? I watched and I listened. And I was so interested, whether it took hours or days sometime before they actually came back together, said they were sorry, and things were good again. And I can tell you how unstable, how insecure I felt during those times of arguments. Don't be afraid to blue in front of your kids, but make sure they see you making up too and coming back together. Okay? And you know, like, no one's got the perfect marriage. But dads, you know, you take it as your responsibility to keep loving your wife and letting your kids see that. That will bring emotional stability to your kids. That's how to care for them emotionally. Spiritually, this is a big one where dads often miss out on. Often dads are not there spiritually being the ones to care for their kids. And that's a real pity. But I want to say to you, dads, you may not have ever considered full-time ministry and going to Bible college and being the pastor of a church, but I tell you, you are the pastor of your home. You are the spiritual pastor of your house. Do not abdicate that responsibility. It is you that your kids will look to for spiritual direction and stability. It is you that needs to be praying with them, teaching them how to pray, praying for them all the time. It is you that needs to be reading the Bible with your kids. And you need to make that fun. It is a sin to take the joy out of scriptures and make Bible reading with your kids an absolute chore. We had a great time yesterday morning. I've just tried to slot it into the daily routine so that I make sure I do my best every day to read the Bible with my kids. And I haven't always been good at it. I'm stoked on it at the moment. Every morning after breakfast, we sit down, Luca grabs the Bible, we come over, we're on the couch, and we read, and we're trying to focus on keeping it fun. Now, yesterday we did Joshua and the Walls of Jericho. That was cool. We read for a bit, but then we thought, no, let's do it. So we got up and we marched around the coffee, the little kiddie coffee table, seven times, and then we're blowing horns and we're screaming out as loud as we can. Luca was stoked, you know, like, and the Bible ought to be fun. He was stoked. And then the walls fell down, we're chucking chairs everywhere, you know. We fix it all back up. But dads, make Bible reading fun with your kids. Make sure your kids look forward to reading the Bible with you every day, and if they miss out, they're bummed. And here's another one. Make sure they see you reading your Bible. Often men, we have our quiet times. We're getting encouraged to go off and have our quiet times, which is good so you can concentrate. But if your kids never see you reading your Bible smack bang in the middle of the lounge room, then they will never see you as the spiritual pastor of the household. They will not come to you with their questions. But if they see you there doing that, it's harder to concentrate, I know that. But if you're there in the midst of the lounge room, you know, reading your Bible, you'll find your kids will come out, what are you reading today? And when they've got questions about what's going on, they'll come and they'll ask you because they know you read your Bible and you love Jesus. And you are interested in that spiritually. So make sure that you're leading your family in that way. And if you lead your family well, and I can see that you are a good spiritual pastor of your family, I will probably ask you to step up into leadership and eldership in this church. Paul gives that direction. He says, no one ought to be an elder of a church if they are not a good elder in their family, if they cannot spiritually pastor their family. So dads, concentrate on that area. Be good in that area. Because this is how the priority goes for me. Jesus is number one. My family is second. And then it is my church. Okay? If you ever see signs that this church and me pastoring this church and stuff to come before my family and I'm neglecting my family, please tell me, please rebuke me, please slap me about the face a few times. Because if I am not leading my family, who am I to think I can actually lead you spiritually? Okay? So that's why my priority is, it's above this church, and I'm proud to say it, and I'm proud to keep it that way. Jesus, my family, and then this church. I've got to make it happen at home before we can get it to happen here. Okay? So that's where it is somewhere. So guys, that's caring for and providing and protecting your kids emotionally and physically and spiritually. As I said, if you keep going on educationally, Dad, you're responsible for all of that. Okay? The final thing I want to bring out tonight is instruction and correction. We actually see that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 to 11, where God, as our Father, instructs and corrects and rebukes from within a loving relationship. That's the important part. Within a loving relationship. Dads, you need to instruct and you need to correct and you need to discipline your kids. You are responsible for doing that. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6, which is actually the passage. No, we didn't have a reference tonight, did we? Ephesians chapter 6 actually tells dads to do this, and I'll read this to you. Sorry, I'm reading lots of passages to you that we didn't read before, but Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 actually says, dads, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So, Paul actually starts by warning dads what not to do, and then tells them to bring the kids up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So when he says, do not exasperate your children, it's a funny word, basically just means, do not provoke your children to anger. Dads can use many different techniques to actually control the behaviour of their kids. And it's a tragedy that some dads end up provoking their kids to anger by the way they try and control the behaviour of their kids. I tell you what, do not do it. Don't exasperate your kids. Don't resort to what I would call schoolyard antics to control your kids. Do not use teasing and bullying to control your kids. Don't tease them. Don't continually point out their failure and laugh at them and joke at them to crush them, to stop them. Don't do that. You'll build resentment in your kids. Okay? To start with, they won't say much, but eventually they'll bubble up, and I'll tell you what, they'll explode all over you in anger. You don't want that to happen when you're 16. Okay? You actually want to build a good, loving relationship of correction from an early age. So don't tease them. Don't bully them. Sometimes dads are just mean bullies that use harsh, cruel, and abusive ways to control the behavior of their kids. Do not do that. They do that so that they stay the top dog and crush everyone underneath. You remember what that was like at school. That's how the toughies, you know, kept their power at school. And you see some boys growing up and then using those same tactics as fathers in the household. They've never been taught anything else. They don't know any other way to control the behavior of their kids. So they're just a bully at home. Don't be like that. One way to actually exacerbate your kids is actually to punish them without making the instruction clear to start with. It's important that you make the instruction really clear with your kids so that they understand it and they understand the consequence. Otherwise, all of a sudden, they're getting a whack or they get sent to their room or they're being punished the way ever you choose to do it, and they didn't even know what they did wrong. That's going to exacerbate the kids. So recently, we've been down at Terrigal. This is what I always try and do. It doesn't always work. But I get down on Evie's height, and I get down, so eye level, the kid's got to understand and listen to what you're saying. Eye level, okay, Evie, you're on your bike down here. You cannot go past that pole. Can you see the pole? Yes, Daddy. I don't want you to go past that pole. If you do go past that pole, you're actually going to put your bike down and sit down for 15 minutes. Do you understand? Yeah, okay, off she goes. Does she go past the pole? Usually, okay? Because kids always test guidelines, okay? They want to know if you're fair dinkum. They want to know if you're a man of your word. Okay? They test the guy, she goes past the pole, come back. Evie, you went past the pole. You need to put your bike down. Sit down for 10 minutes. And then she's okay. Okay? So that's actually the way we need to parent. We need to make the instruction really clear so that when the correction and the discipline comes, the kid understands. You know what? Kids love it when you follow through with the consequence you said you will. In fact, when you don't, you'll find your kids will come to you and they'll say, you were meant to send me to my room just then. And Evie did it to me today. You know, I said, okay, last warning. Okay, last warning, you know. And she said, Daddy, you already gave me a warning. I'm like, yeah, you're right. See, kids love it when parents follow through on their word and they give the consequences they say they will. But it's good to try and do that in a calm manner, not when you're angry. The whole purpose of correcting is not to punish and abuse, but actually to instruct a child so that will cultivate self-discipline in the child. That's what you're trying to do with your kids. You want them to become self-disciplined as a person, to learn how to judge for themselves right and wrong. So Ephesians chapter 6, it says, the idea is we're bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You're bringing them up. So the daily walk, you know, we had to have some Proverbs read tonight to us from them. If you read Proverbs, you cannot escape the fact that it's all about a loving dad walking daily with his kids, teaching them and instructing them and correcting them about all of life. That's what it's all about. I love the book of Proverbs. You see a great dad, you know, really ministering and pastoring his kids and teaching them kids, showing them kids. You know, you see it all the time. Son, you see that over there? See all that? And the kid's like, what's all that stuff out front? He's lazy. Okay, see that woman over there? And he's like, yeah, the plunging neckline? Yeah. That neckline plunges all the way down to hell. Don't go near her. Okay? So the dad's walking around, okay, and he's instructing and he's teaching his kids. That's a good, loving dad using the daily teaching moments that just come up. And I had a whole bunch of them today. One of them was in front of the telly. Daddy, what's that all about? Oh, let me tell you, Jesus says this. That's how dads ought to be instructing and correcting. Now, at this point, some of you are thinking, you know, I'm just not around. I'm at work all day, every day. It's mum who's there every day, all day, every day. And okay, that's good. Dad, it's your responsibility to make sure that there is instruction and correction going on in your family, okay? And most of the time, that will be your wife who is at home carrying the heavy load of that day in, day out. Sometimes you'll walk home, and it's happened to us, you walk through the door, and immediately you can tell it's been a tough day. You just look at mum's face, and you look at the kids, and you can say, this has been a tough day. Sometimes dads make the mistake of walking in, and the kids will run up, and they'll say, Daddy, Daddy, Mummy said I can't watch telly, I can't do this and that, and that'll go, come on, let's watch some telly, let's jump on the bed, let's do this and that, because I'm the fun dad, you know? Or you be the fun dad, you make mum out to be the bad, mean mum. Do not do that. If you are responsible for instruction and correction in your family, you back up your wife as she fulfills what you have decided together are the instructions and guidelines in your family. So when you walk through the door, it's mum you need to talk to straight away. You need to back up mum straight away, otherwise you're teaching your kids to dishonour and disrespect their mother, and you're making yourself out to be nothing more than a foolish peer. And if your kids see you as a foolish peer who just wants to have fun all the time, there's no way you're going to be able to step in when they're 16 and actually start to get serious and tell them what to do. They'll look at you like, who are you to step into my life now and tell me how to live? You've never done that. You've always just been the big brother, jokey dad, yeah, let's have fun. You know, there used to be a time when they said you've got to have quality time with your kids, because dads don't have much time with your kids. Just make sure it's quality, meaning fun, nice, good time. No, you've just got to have time with your kids, as much time as you can get, so that you're there when they're really making big mistakes, and you're there when they're going well. You're just there as much as you can to be teaching and correcting along the way. That's what we're trying to do as dads. In Proverbs, you see a lot of repetition, because that's what it's like in a dad and a mum. You've got to keep repeating those instructions and commands. You've got to earn the right to discipline your kids by doing it from within a loving relationship. And it's got to be a very practical thing to do all day. Okay. There's more, but I'll stop just there. Yeah, actually, I got something in the mail yesterday. Did you get that How to Talk to Your Kids About Drugs pamphlet in the mail? I thought it was quite good. I opened up the first page. One of the first things it said is, you actually just need to have a relationship with your kids. If you've got a relationship with your teenagers, chances are you'll be able to talk to them about things. I just want to add one thing to that. You just make sure that relationship starts way back when they're little. Foster a good, open, loving relationship with your kids where you can communicate and talk with them really early on. If you wait till your kids are teenagers and they say, hey, let's be friends and talk and let's have a relationship, let's go, dude, get away. You know? Like, the dads, invest early and invest well, because you are responsible for how they turn. Am I exhausting you yet? Going okay? I'm going to wrap up on this one. If some of you guys are sitting here thinking, well, okay, I've got a lot to think about, I'm going to go home tonight and wake up tomorrow morning and I will be super dad. You know? Don't do that. Don't try and change the whole big thing overnight. Just let some of these things sink in. Start to pray about your fathering and the responsibility that's there. You know? Just make small, slow, manageable steps to become the dad that you need to be under God. Okay? Don't try and become super dad overnight. And I want to finish tonight by looking back to God and actually seeing the Heavenly Father that we have. And just loving that. And getting excited about who God is. And particularly on the part where we talk about how He cares for us and how He protects us. We know He made us, okay? We know He instructs us and corrects us. But do you really know how well our Heavenly Father sustains us, cares for us, and provides for us in our biggest need? Our biggest need is spiritual. And God loves us so much that He came to us to care for us and provide for us spiritually in a way that we could not provide for ourselves, in a way that we could not protect ourselves from our own sinful hearts, which continually want to turn away from God. He comes to it. He doesn't just sit up there and wait for His children, wait for these people to get their act together. This is a big part. He doesn't just sit there waiting. Come on, kids. When you be good, I will love you. Some of you guys have had dads, and you only feel loved by them when you've been good. It's hard for you to understand a Heavenly Father who loves you no matter what. In fact, the Bible actually says He loved us while we were still His enemies. The Heavenly Father loves you even though you were His enemy, and even though some of you still are His enemies. He loves you so much that He was prepared to humble Himself, get off His throne, come down to the earth, become one of us to save us, and die in our place on the cross. that's what God did for us in His Son Jesus. That's how much He loved us. So for some of you, that's a hard thing to understand. When you keep trying to get your head around God as a good Heavenly Father, your own Father keeps affecting how you see God. So you keep thinking, no, I must have to be good first. I must have to somehow impress Him first. I must have to get the Christian thing down pat first. I must have to kind of be committed enough first, or be Christian enough, so that He kind of likes me and lets me kind of come on the team. Okay? You're not looking at the Heavenly Father. You're not seeing Him correctly. He is our Father who accepts us as we are. He knows how you are. He knows what you struggle with. He knows the depths of your own depravity, my own depravity. And He loves me still. He loves me first. And He expresses that for me with Jesus on the cross in my place so that I can be His child and be with Him for eternity. Now, some of you haven't accepted that. Some of you haven't come to a point in your life where you've said, thank you, Father, for doing that for me even when I did not deserve it. I can't believe you would love me that much when I don't deserve it. And maybe tonight is a time where this is making more sense for you than ever before. If that's the case, do something about it. Talk to someone about it. Talk to me about it. Make a decision to actually thank God for what He's done for you. Acknowledge Him for the incredible Heavenly Father that He already is.